KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's clear and 70 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly sunny today. Just a slight chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, a high around 87. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV, satellite systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. All 15 Iowa community colleges are partially financed with property tax revenue, and officials from five of the systems have placed their school's facilities levy on the ballot for the September 10th school board elections. Tom Leeson is the vice president at Southwestern Community College in Creston, one of the schools asking area voters to approve the property tax levy.
For Southwestern, it generates just under $500,000 every year that can be spent for physical infrastructure, so buildings, sidewalks, parking lots, that kind of thing. It cannot be used for salaries.
The first building on the school's Creston campus opened in 1970. In 1985, an attendance center was opened in Red Oak. 11 years ago, another attendance center opened in Osceola. Leeson says his community college would have a hard time keeping its facilities in shape without the property tax levy.
You can't charge enough tuition to the students to take care of all the buildings and put in parking lots. And in Red Oak specifically, you know, we remodeled an old skating rink, and that's the money we used to be able to do that. Now, we built onto that building with a private donation, but the original remodel, the parking lot, all of that work was done with money that is generated by the plant fund.
The college has purchased space on area billboards advertising the property tax levy vote in the upcoming election. Plus, Leeson and other college officials are traveling around the area speaking to civic groups about the vote. Leeson says Southwestern can't afford complacency on the referendum.
We passed it every time we've voted it. You know, I really don't expect there to be a big problem, but we're also not going to take it for granted. We're going to get out and we're going to talk to a lot of different groups and remind them that 10 years ago we did this, and 10 years before that we did it, and 10 years before that we did it. And it's something that we just have to do and get it out there in front of people so they know what they're voting on. And obviously then hopefully they'll feel a lot more comfortable voting yes.
The levy needs a simple majority in order to pass and will be enforced for 10 years. In addition to Southwestern, voters in these areas will be asked to vote on a facilities levy for their local community college, Northeastern Community College in Kalmar, Hawkeye Community College in Waterloo, Iowa Western Community College in Council Bluffs, and Southeastern Community College in Burlington. The other 10 colleges have had facilities levies approved within the past 5 years. News time is 8:03.
Summer's finally here. Come into the TV store in Atlantic and find out what's new.
We've got the complete line of 2013 Sony TVs, ranging from 32 all the way up to our huge 70-inch with built-in 3D. Bundle it with one of the latest Sony Blu-ray players or surround sound systems.
We also have the latest smartphones from Verizon Wireless, including the iPhone 5 and the Samsung Galaxy S4 with an incredible 13-megapixel camera and infrared remote control.
And don't forget, the TV store is your locally owned Dish Network retailer. Get hooked up with a Hopper DVR system and never have to watch another commercial again. The TV store is locally owned and takes pride in providing top-notch customer service. We take time to make sure you know how to use that new phone or TV. And we do all of our own Dish installs so you don't have to worry about a stranger coming to your house.
So come see us today and get more at the TV store. We're located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or give us a call at 712-243-3032.
Well, the Griswold School Board has a full slate of decisions to make this evening during a regular meeting in the central office boardroom of the middle school high school building. During the new business portion of their 5:30 p.m. session, the board will act on approving a high school boiler system, locker room, and bathroom remodel, a proposal from Messina Telephone Company, 2013-14 senior meals, bakery, dairy, snow removal, and trash bids, and the board will make a decision with regard to a school resource officer. In addition, they're scheduled to appoint a board secretary, business manager, and school attorney, as well as designate the bank depository and limits. Following other business, the Griswold School Board will enter into a closed session to evaluate the performance of Superintendent Dana Kunze and talk with him about his goals for the upcoming school year. The CAM School District's Board of Education is scheduled to meet this evening at 7 o'clock and during their regular session at the CAM High School Media Center. The board will discuss and possibly take action on matters that pertain to the multipurpose building, online academy, open enrollment applications, the superintendents and other contracts, and any resignations, along with milk and lunch bids and SIAC recommendations. They're also expected to set the 2013-2014 school lunch price and fees. And members of the Elkhorn-Kimbleton Board of Education will meet this evening in the Family and Consumer Science Room at the high school in Elkhorn. During the 7 p.m. session, under the consent agenda, the board will act on approving contracts with Tony St. Esteban Junior High Boys Basketball Assistant High School Basketball Coach, and Kelly Jewell, Assistant High School Girls Basketball Coach. They'll also act on appointing a school board lawyer and secretary treasurer, as well as business manager. Under new business, the EHK board will discuss and likely act on approving contracts with HTS, Midwest Lock and Security, and Southwestern Community College, a bid for an IT room heat pump, and the high school and teacher handbooks. Prior to adjourning for the evening, the board will enter into a closed session per Iowa code to evaluate the professional competency of an individual whose hiring is being considered, when necessary, to prevent needless and irreparable injury to that individual's reputation. Afterward, they'll return from the closed session to act on Superintendent Dean Snow's contract. Well, ceremony held Saturday afternoon at the Atlantic City Park for the rededication of a soldier's monument began with a loud boom. The sound of a replica miniature cannon built by Atlantic's Steve Livengood echoed through the downtown area and was one of many similar events held throughout the country in a commemoration of the sesquicentennial of the American Civil War, which was fought from 1861 to 1865. The original dedication ceremony for the monument in Atlantic was held 94 years ago on July 10, 1919. It's dedicated to the memory of those who fought in the Mexican, Civil, and Spanish-American Wars. Helping to commemorate the ceremony in Atlantic were members of the Colonel William H. Kinsman, Camp 23, Sons of the Union Veterans of Civil War, Uniformed Group, Company B, 10th Iowa Volunteer Infantry. American Legion Post 43 and members of the VFW were also on hand to provide a 21-gun salute. Dave Hancock of Atlantic was a master of ceremonies for the event.
This rededication has a special meaning for me and for others who may have an ancestor who is one of the 640 veterans whose names are listed on the plaques on the monument. Sergeant Sassy has a great-great-grandfather, Milton P. Black, whose name appears there. My great-grandfather, William Hancock, is also on there.
Hancock said it was in the memory of his great-grandfather and all those who lost their lives in the war that the rededication took place. Also speaking at the event was Atlantic Mayor Dave Jones, Mark Wiedemeyer, chair of the Cass County Board of Supervisors, and Atlantic City Councilman Steve Livengood, who also provided a history of the monument from its inception up to and including a recent renovation. He says it began with a petition with 141 names, which was presented before the supervisors in 1915.
The following document was filed with the County Supervisors on September 20th, 1915. Petition to the Honorable Board of Supervisors of Cass County, Iowa. Gentlemen, the undersigned residents of Cass County, Iowa, respectfully suggest to your honorable body the propriety and wisdom of increasing to its legal limit of 1 mil the tax known as the Dependent Soldiers and Sailors Tax, as provided by Section 430 of the Supplemental Supplement, 1915 Code of Iowa, for the purpose of creating a fund to erect in Cass County, Iowa, a suitable and enduring monument to the memory of the soldiers and sailors who gave their all to create and perpetuate this United States. The purpose of this memorial being not only to perpetuate the memory of our honored dead, but more particularly to impress upon the rising and future generations the worth and value of our liberties as measured by their cost in heroic sacrifices, and to inculcate in the young the principles of patriotism.
The monument cost a total of around $26,916, which includes an architect fee and a little more than $3,000 for the foundation, which is 22 square feet wide at the top, 26 square feet wide at the bottom, and 10 feet deep. It's made up of concrete, reinforced steel, cement, sand, and crushed stone. The entire monument is 62 feet 10 inches tall. Livengood became involved in the restoration of the monument a few years ago when a citizen asked about a missing shield on the Lady Liberty statue, which stands atop the monument. The shield had fallen off and was being stored in a Parks and Rec building. As the council's liaison to the park board, Livengood began the process of finding someone to repair the statue. It was repaired by Steve Nelson of Nelson Machine and Forge in Marnie. The rededication was preceded by a bugler calling soldiers to assembly. And Cass County Supervisor Mark Wiedemeyer made the official rededication.
Commander, I invite you at this time to accept from Cass County Board of Supervisors this memorial and request that it be rededicated by you to the noble purpose for which it has been set up.
Chairman Wiedemeyer, in the name of the Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War, representing as they do all the soldiers and sailors who defended the integrity and authority of the nation, I thank you and those whom you represent for this memorial.
And the event concluded with the placing of colors, the Pledge of Allegiance, the setting of a Civil War soldier's field pack, wreath, and flag at the base of the monument, a performance of taps, and a 21-gun salute. KJAN News Time is 8:10.
Honey, don't forget, Jesse from the TV store is coming to install Dish today.
Oh, yeah. When's he going to be here? Between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m.?
No, he's actually supposed to be here right... The TV store is your locally owned, authorized Dish retailer. They provide superior customer service and know how to be on time. Jesse and Al are their only installers, so you know who's going to be coming to your house, not some stranger from the city. At the TV store, your local authorized Dish retailer, you get all the same deals that you would get by calling the 1-800 number without automated systems or hold times. And yes, they have the hopper. If you're fed up with your current television provider or want to know about the latest technologies Dish has to offer, go check out the TV store, your local authorized Dish retailer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or give them a call at 243-3032. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Taking a look at national news headlines, the government report Americans spent more at retail businesses in June. The Commerce Department said retail sales rose 0.4%. It was mostly driven by a 1.8% increase in auto sales, the biggest one-month gain since November. Higher gas prices pushed service station sales up 0.7%. Excluding those volatile categories and building supplies, so-called core retail sales rose just a little over 0.15%. That's the weakest since January. And legal experts are saying it may be hard for the Justice Department to file federal charges against George Zimmerman, who was acquitted of Florida state charges in the shooting death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. Experts say federal prosecutors would likely be saddled with some of the same challenges that complicated the state case, such as proving that Zimmerman attacked the teen because he was black. In our funeral announcements, Elsie Paulson, age 88, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Elsie Paulson will be today at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Virginia Ann Kane, age 90, of Oakland, died Thursday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Virginia Kane will be today at 11 o'clock at the Oakland Christian Church. Rican Veith Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Keith Lee, age 78, of Coon Rapids, died Thursday. Funeral services for Keith Lee will be this morning at 11 o'clock at the Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids. David Williams, age 52, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for David Williams will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic has arrangements. Odell Moore, age 87, formerly of Menlo, died Saturday at the New Homestead and Guthrie Center. Memorial services for Odell Moore will be held Tuesday at 10:30 at the Glendon Church in Glendon. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Grace Ann Knudsen, age 83, of Harlan, died Thursday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Grace Ann Knudsen will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. James Jim Levi Jacobson, age 72, of Harlan, died Saturday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community. Funeral services for Jim Jacobson will be Wednesday at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Laura K. Pardee, age 102, of Audubon, died Sunday at the Audubon County Hospital. A massive Christian burial service for Laura Pardee will be on Thursday at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. And Vernon D. Schnack, age 73, of Walnut and formerly of Harlan, died Sunday. Services for Vernon Schnack are pending at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.